flammable.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. While the world keeps an eye on the incendiary Middle East, it's also watching oil, the price of which jumped $2 a barrel in trading today. Fears about continued violence in Gaza are reminding analysts about the risks to suppliers in the region. We're also being reminded today about gas prices. For nearly 6 months, they've been on the decline, part of that from dramatically falling oil prices since the summer, part from less volatility in the energy market. Here's Marketplace's senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
For many months, energy intelligence group's Barbara Shook blamed speculators for artificially driving up prices. Now she's relieved those days appear to be over for a simple reason.
Those players are broke right now. Those are the ones who are in Washington saying, oh, gee, you know, this free enterprise system that we were talking about 6 months ago, it doesn't work and we need a handout.
Wall Street investors have stopped jumping into the oil market looking for a bargain as they once did whenever the price started falling. Oil analyst Stephen Shork says even with sharply weaker demand, prices are unrealistically low now, but it seems nobody has the money to change that.
People that made the money on the way up, you know what? They lost it on the way down. So a lot of people are on the sidelines licking the wounds, and I don't think they have the appetite to come back into this environment.
Shork says that's why there's not much chance of a sudden price jump anytime soon. He believes the demise of rampant speculation has brought some stability. And with much less available silly money, as he calls it, Shork says there's much less chance for funny business. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Energy stocks are fueling some market gains overseas. Asian markets rose for the most part in Hong Kong by an average of about 1%. The Nikkei gained a fraction of 1% this morning. The Dow ended the week at 85.15 with a 0.5% gain on Friday. Thin trading expected this week, a typically slow period between Christmas and New Year's. European markets are trading mostly up 1 to 3%. Within the next few years, the euro could knock the dollar off its perch as the world's top currency. That is the viewpoint of most Europeans, according to a new poll out today. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
A large majority of continental Europeans agreed the euro will be the world's number one currency before the year 2014. In Spain, an overwhelming 70% took that view. And the Financial Times Harris poll showed that nearly half of the Americans surveyed felt the dollar's reign is drawing to a close. Ralph Atkins is the Financial Times correspondent in Frankfurt. He says the poll reflects the recent decline in the reputation of the US currency.
I think particularly in the last few months of financial market crisis, the dollar has been seen as prone to weakness, whereas the euro has actually strengthened.
But he points out the euro is still a long way behind the dollar. Well over 60% of the world's central bank reserves are still held in the greenback. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Christmas may have come and gone, but for Christmas tree farmers in the South, the work never ends. Tree farms across the country are already beginning to lay the groundwork for next year. One farmer in West Georgia began the task of cutting down stumps and planting new seedlings. The regimen, a tried-and-true schedule that many southern farmers use, it's designed to take advantage of the South's balmier winters and spring rains. Says farmer Perry DeWeese, "We never get a break. Farming is like housework. It's never done." No word yet on how the economic fallout has affected the industry. Early reports from scattered growers have been encouraging. Some say the downturn hasn't clipped sales. Others report only small declines in Christmas tree sales.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com.
Barack Obama has promised to make alternative energy a leading priority of his presidency, pledging to invest billions of dollars into non-polluting technologies and infrastructure, creating a couple million jobs in the process. Joining me now is Sam Eaton from Marketplace's Sustainability Desk. Sam, this is obviously a big plan for the president-elect.
What it really boils down to, and this is what Obama is framing this, is short-term versus long-term thinking. And this is why you see Obama talking about this new energy economy from a jobs perspective. You can actually invest in this on a federal level, stimulate jobs, and prepare for a time when oil prices may go back up again. One other thing is you have to remember that cheap oil is also really bad for a lot of the players in the oil industry as well. We have all of these domestic reserves of oil that are a lot more costly than, say, drilling in Saudi Arabia. So if we don't do anything now, we may end up with more dependence on these foreign sources of oil just because drilling domestically would be much more expensive.
So, Sam, we've got this double whammy going on right now. Not only are oil prices low, but we've got this credit crunch that's affecting how much money is out there to invest.
Yeah, and invest in renewable energy projects. T. Boone Pickens' plan has suffered major setbacks as he's lost incredible amounts of money through his investment firm and is drastically scaling back what was supposed to be the largest wind farm in the world in Texas. So what we could see is an interesting development where you have a change in the players here from the T. Boone Pickens to potentially oil companies and utilities building these large renewable energy arrays. The key here is the renewable energy tax credit that was recently passed in Congress. And unfortunately, to take advantage of that, you actually have to have profits that you can write down through this tax credit. Oil companies are still profitable. Utilities are still profitable. So they could actually make some gains from getting into that action.
And it sounds like they're underscoring, obviously, the cost competitiveness of these renewable energy sources. How important is that, and how do you make that happen?
It's incredibly important and tough right now when natural gas prices have dropped considerably. They aren't cost competitive right now. But this is really a policy question, Steve. You actually compare the actual environmental costs of burning and using fossil fuels versus, you know, getting your energy from the sun and renewable sources. A lot of people would say that would level the playing field and you would suddenly make these renewable energy sources much more cost competitive, even today.
Marketplace's Sam Eaton joining us. Sam, thanks.
Thanks.
And you can share your thoughts with us at our website. Check out the news of the day as well, the numbers too, at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.